Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, it's good to be back. What we're going to do today, we're going to preach for 45 minutes. We're going to take a 15-minute break. If you want to leave, you can, and then you can... You got your Bible today. Or your pixels. I don't know, however you look at it, right? Either the pixel or paper, whichever one. Let's raise them high in the air today. Let's say it like we mean it. You can put the, yeah. This is my Bible, God's word for me. I can do what it says I can do, and I can be what it says I can be, and I can have what it says I can have. Today, my mind is alert and my heart is prepared to hear the unchanging, uncompromising, incorruptible word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you today and we thank you so much for the word. We thank you for the word today that's going to be translated into the hearts of people today, God. So we thank you for it. We bless this time. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about something that is on my heart for you. From chaos to calm. Learning to live in the rest of the Lord. Learning to live in the rest of the Lord. I want to read, these are the things that as I started this message, and I just typed it down, and I'm going to read it, okay, so to you. In order for you and I to walk in our inheritance as children of God, we have to learn to live from the inside out. From our true identity, the real us, the hidden man of the heart. I release into my external world my internal realities. If I'm frustrated, I release frustration. If I'm fearful, I release fear. If I'm worried, I release worry and concern. If I'm angry, I release anger. But it's also vice versa. That if I have peace, I release peace. If I have joy, it releases joy. Right? It's the same thing. It's just the opposite. To walk, we will never walk in the fullness of what God has intended for us if we are anxious, fearful, and chaotic. To walk in our true identity, we must learn to enter into the rest of the Lord. The chaos, confusion, and anxiety keeps us in bondage and captive by the circumstances of life instead of us bringing change to it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We are called to be peacemakers. We can't do that if we're not living in rest. I wrote this down. There are some people here that are so internally frustrated because you're still uncertain that you're really accepted by God. You're really loved by the Father. There's people in this room that are living in anxiety, internal anxiety, because they're unsure whether they're really forgiven. And thinking that they have to do something else to get God's approval. We have to learn to live from rest. If you and I are not living from rest, it's going to affect our decision making. It's going to affect how we walk, what we do. It'll affect your family. It'll affect your marriage if we are not in rest. I got a question. Do you believe that rest is possible for the children of God? Absolutely. Is it really possible that a person can walk above anxiety, can walk above fear, that can walk above chaos? Do you really believe that? Yes, I do. Because Jesus promised it to us. Amen. And everybody sitting here today, there are situations and circumstances that are all around you. But I'm telling you that you can get into a place, that I can get into a place where we enter into rest. So go with me to John 15. I got a lot to say, short time to get there. John 15, I'm going to go make large amounts of comments on passages of Scripture, but I want you to see some things here. I don't want to get bogged down too much, but John chapter 15, I told you at the beginning of the year that I felt like that John 15 would be a significant passage of Scripture for us as believers in this church. And I believe it's true. I believe that the Lord's taught me some things. I believe He's teaching people in this room about the John 15 life, how to live in the vine. And living in the vine is actually living in rest. In John 15, verses 1 through 8, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. What's it say? You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, this is a powerful metaphor that Jesus uses about the vine and the branches. Now, in those eight verses, the seven times the word abide is mentioned. Seven times. And the word abide, it's the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, meno, and it means to settle in. It means to reside or lodge. It means to stay put. Now, how does this translate into New Covenant terminology, right, in the New Covenant because of the finished work of Christ, because of what He has done? How does this apply? It's not like that, you know what, I get in and I get out. I get in and I get out. I get in the vine and out of the vine. No. He said, you've got to, in the New Covenant, the way that you and I abide is by staying aware of who you are, by staying aware of what you possess, staying aware of your inheritance in Christ. You stay aware of this. He said, you've got to continually to abide and stay aware of who you are, stay aware of who I am in your life, stay aware of what you carry, stay aware of this, reminding myself who I'm connected to. Now, the word meno, if you start looking at the word, there's some meaning here of opposition. There's a meaning here, has meaning of standing. It's like standing against opposition. So when you're standing or when you're abiding, it's you're staying aware and you're standing against the opposition. You're standing against these things. You're standing fast, you're standing still, and you're enduring. Jesus is the vine. And He's the one that's at work. A branch does not have to work. All it has to do is receive from the vine. Receiving from the vine. He's at work on our behalf. See, the root system is under the surface, and they're unaffected by what's happening above ground. The roots aren't affected by what's going on above it. It's affected by what's going on below it. Our vine is not affected by all the junk that's going on around you. And we got to get to the place that we're not affected by all the junk that's going on around us. I am a branch, and all I need to do is continually receive the inflow or the flow of, and the nutrients and the sustenance from Him. And when I'm reminding myself of this, I enter into a place of rest. Now notice what Jesus said in verse 8, or verse 6. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and withered. And he's thrown into the fire. I think one way we can look at this, if we don't abide, if we don't stay aware, we are cast out as a branch. It's as a branch. It's a metaphor. It's cast out as a branch, and we become fuel for the fires of life. Well, we fuel the anxiety. See, if I don't stay, you got to listen. If I don't stay aware of who I am in Christ, if I don't stay aware of my identity, I don't stay aware that I have peace. I'm not trying to get it. I have it. I'm not trying to get joy. I got joy. I'm not trying to get love. I've got love. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. Yes. Right? But if we fail to abide, check what I'm saying now. If we fail to abide, we are cast out as a branch, and it fuels the fires of life around us. The quickest way to put out the fuel, put out the fire, is to quit putting fuel on the. Well, how does that happen? By you and I knowing who we are. Come on. It takes one person to make peace. It takes one person to make peace. Jesus gets up from the grave. Gets up from the grave. What's his first word when he gets up from the grave and he appears to those disciples? When he went to them into that room, what are the first words he said to them? Peace. Because Jesus knew, they crucified me unjustly, but I'm extending peace. Why? Because I've got something in me called rest. You guys are right. So when we are not being sourced by things that can supply, we will be unsatisfied. Let me say it again. When we are not being sourced by things that can supply, we will be unsatisfied. The reason that people are unsatisfied is because you're being sourced by the wrong stuff. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to put that one up here. I think I'd give you this one. Failure to abide provides fuel for the fire. I just want you to remember that. Failure to abide provides fuel for the fire. Now, Jesus said these words in John 14. Can I get a good amen this morning? I didn't forget how to do this. I thought I was going to. He said, peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not, that's a permissive word. You have a say in that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? So there's this, and I wrote this down. There is a pervasive unrest. Have you noticed this? There's a pervasive unrest that we have. It just happens. I mean, you go on vacation. It feels like you can't even go on vacation about the third day in. Come on, somebody. No, there's this pervasive unrest that people and we are living in all the time. This undertow. Have you noticed there's this undertow of offense and conflict that's around us? I mean, people are on edge. Anxiety and fear is everywhere. Daily living comes with carrying these demanding responsibilities and concerns and stress. And we have to learn how to handle this without being consumed by it. How's this going to happen? By rest. By rest. By rest. We are. I'm not. I believe that people should go get therapy. I think it's a good thing. But listen to this. We are the most therapized generation ever. Yet we are more anxious, depressed, neurotic than ever before. Check this out. Abigail Schreier, she wrote a book. I just listened to a podcast. This guy was talking about this lady. And she's an agnostic, actually. She said, in the U.S. since 1986, every decade there has been a doubling of expenditure on mental health from the previous decade. However, anxiety and depression is exploding. Why? There's something wrong. Because your counselor is not the Holy Spirit. Now, can the Holy Spirit use the counselor? But the problem is, you might not like this one at all. But the problem is your counselor is becoming your pastor. No. See, I'm just telling you something. There's nothing wrong with counseling. But that person is not to be your spiritual leader. I'm not even talking about your pastor. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about God. Listen, the problem is that we're going to the wrong wells. It is a well. I'm going to dip from the well, but it's not the well. And the one that can really set you free is not somebody sitting behind a desk. It is the Holy Ghost inside of you that will set you free and bring rest to your heart. I'm not against therapy. Go. I think it's good. I push people that way. But it's not. It is not the end all. The problem is that we're more unspiritual than we ever have been. We don't go to the Word of God anymore. You might not like this, but I'm coming back from vacation. I'm loaded. When was the last time that you went to this for your problem? When was the last time you prayed about your issue? Now, I'm not saying, well, just pray it away. No, I'm not saying that. Because you guys know where I'm at with that. I've taught this stuff about emotional health and soul care. You guys know where I'm at with this. Know my heart. But the problem is that we are unspiritual people. We're carnal. And it's causing us to stay in unrest. You guys with me here? Listen to this. Let me just read this to you. A professor asked his audience to close their eyes. Won't you just go ahead and do this? Won't you do this exercise with me? A professor asked his audience to close their eyes and imagine peace. All right. Got that image? After a few seconds, the audience was invited to share their mental pictures of peace. Now, we're not going to go around the room and ask it. But one person described a field with flowers and beautiful trees. Another person spoke of a snow-capped mountain or a beach with waves lapping up on you as you sit with your feet in the water. Still another described, again, the scene of a beautiful still lake. And after everyone described their mental picture of peace, there was one thing common in them all. There was no people in them. Okay. All right. Who in the room, imagine somebody, was there people absent in your picture? Isn't that sad? We got people all around us. How are you going to live in peace with people around you? You got to learn to have that scenery with that. After everyone described their mental picture of peace, there was one thing common in all. They were no people in them. The professor commented, isn't it interesting when asked to imagine peace that the first thing we do is to eliminate everyone else. We go a long ways with that. 90% of people feel stress and pressure about raising kids. They asked 2,000 adults interviewed. 90% of them. Some of the things parents are most stressed about. Fear that their children will not have opportunities they need in life. That's why we got the fear of missing out. That's why we got people going on debt everywhere because trying to give their kid the next best thing. Fear of the children getting hurt or endangered by others. Fear of their children getting sick, having an accident, or being injured. Fear of their children being bullied. Fear of the children going through body image issues. And the problem is that we got Christian folks. As Christian people, we act just like the world. So the chaos happened on the outside. Doesn't have to be on the inside. You guys all right here? You guys all right? Okay. You don't find rest outside. You find rest on the inside. And then you walk in that rest. But the problem is we're trying to find a rest in all the other stuff. I want you to go over to John 4. Is anybody hot in here? Oh, we got rumblings in here. Oh, this is good. I might take a poll here in a minute. The next thing, take off your coat. The last time I took off my coat up here after I complained, everybody clapped. How about just some air? How about just air conditioner? Just air conditioner. How about that? Not air conditioner, just a fan. Just a fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe you don't. This is a famous set of scripture here with the Samaritan. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now, check this out. We can look here. Here's, if you can think about it, right? Judea, Galilee. Judea, Galilee. 3 days journey, walking journey from Judea to Galilee. He needed, verse 4, but he needed to go through where? So Judea, Galilee, Samaria, in between. 3 days journey. Now, I don't have time to break all this down, but the Jews did not like, you'll see it here, they'll talk about the Jews did not like the Samaritans because they were, they had intermingled with pagan religions. They would actually walk Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they would actually go here and they would walk around to a 6-day journey instead of a 3-day journey because they didn't want to go through Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. That's noon. 6 hours is the noon. That's noon. In the Bible, the day starts at 6 a.m. So the 3rd hour of the day would be 9. 6 hour of the day would be 12 p.m. or high noon. The 6th hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you what? Living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. You don't have a bucket. And the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into what? So Jesus uses something here, a natural conversation. First, you have a well on a well, which is very interesting. You have the well sitting on a well. And the Samaritan woman came to him. She came at noon because she was a red light district lady. She was ridiculed. That's why she had to come at 12, because most of the women that come and draw water came and drew water in the 1st hour of the day. So it would have been about 7 a.m. But when they showed up, when the Samaritans showed up to get water with the other Jewish ladies or the other Samaritan ladies, well, you know what? They started talking about her Facebook post, and she started talking about maybe her OnlyFans page or whatever it is. She was a very, very promiscuous lady. So she had to go at noon. That way she wasn't ridiculed. And Jesus finds her here, and Jesus says, listen, I'm thirsty. But he takes what he always does, and he takes a natural conversation, and he turns it into a spiritual conversation. And Jesus is saying something like this. You think it's about the bucket. You're looking at the bucket, and it's all about the bucket, when Jesus is talking about a well. It's not about the bucket. It's not about the bucket. It's about what well you're drinking from. It's about what well you're drinking. What well you're drinking from. We think it's all about the different buckets. Bring those buckets up here. Bring that bag of stuff up here. We think it's all about the buckets. This lady, she kept dipping into, the Bible said she had five husbands, and she was shacking up with another one. And she kept drinking and drawing from this well. And she had this bucket. And she kept going to that's husband one. And that didn't work. And husband two. And that didn't work. And husband three. And that didn't work. Because it's not about a bucket. It's about the well she's drinking from. He said, won't you quit? You've been going to that well every single time. Won't you try something different? I've got living water for you. If you and I are going to learn to walk in rest, we got to learn to have and understand that there's living water available to you and me. We do the same stuff. Well, if I just had a different job, that would make a difference. I had a different job. Oh, you know, if I had a different car, that would make a difference. If I had a different car, that's a bucket. I need a different car. If I just had a different house, you know what? If I just had the next best thing, if I had the side by side, if I just had it. Come on, somebody.
That's good.
But you find out, right? That what? It doesn't satisfy. So I'll look in here. Let's see what other bucket I have down here. Let me find some other buckets. Oh yeah. Here's this. It's a cleaning bucket. I'll clean my life up. That's what I'll do. I'll clean my life up. I'll get really moral. I'll start going to church. I'll get moral, straight-laced. Cut out the smoking, cut it all out. Get moral. Find out, though, that bucket, right? There's nothing wrong with being moral. But if you're doing it because you're dipping from the wrong place, it's never going to satisfy. I'll try a little religion. I'll try a little God. Maybe, never satisfies. Let me find another bucket in here. I know what I'll do. Oh, yeah. Let me see here. I'll just get a bigger bucket. That's what I'll do. I'll get a bigger bucket. I'll get a bigger house. I'll get a better wife. I'll get a better husband. That's what I'll do. I'll buy a bigger car, better car. I'll live in a better place. That's what we do. Do we not do this? But it never what? It never satisfies. Oh, yeah, no. Well, let me look at this one. What else buckets do I have down in here? Oh, yeah. How about this bucket? Now, some of you are laughing, but there's people in this room that's turning this thing every single day. There's people in this room, this is what you're turning to. I need some peace. I need some peace. That's what I need. Mommy drinks. I need a mommy drink. That's what they call them. Mommy drink. I need to unwind. The problem is you're drinking from the wrong well. It's not about the bucket. There's another bucket in here. Let's see what I got. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Right here. Yeah, bucket. Yeah. Jesus chicken. That's not, listen, it's not Chick-fil-A. It's Kentucky Fried. I'll just turn to food. Or I'll go on a diet. We drink. Jesus said, she come to Jesus and said, where's your bucket? He said, I don't need a bucket. Because what I've got is living water. Oh, there's another bucket in here. Better hide that. Little bucket. That's what we'll do. I'll cut it out. Cut the schedule. I'm going to cut the schedule. I'm going to minimize. What they call that? What's that trend? It's Marie Kondo. What is that? It's minimalist. Yeah, I'm gonna become a minimalist. I'll read Marie Kondo and I'll bless my shirts as I roll them up and throw them away. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? Anybody saw that craziness? Okay. I'll cut my schedule. I'll stop. I'll cut my schedule out. I'll just won't do anything. I'll just no small bucket. But guess what I find out? Never satisfied. There's one more bucket in here. It's a pretty bucket. It's a pretty bucket. I'll tan it. I'll feel it. I'll inject it. I'll paint it up. Just paint the barn here, Andy. Just paint that barn. You see, just paint it. I'll go on that diet. I'll lose that weight. I'll go to the gym. But I find out. I wasn't looking at Jackson. I wasn't looking at you. Gosh! But we find out at the end of the day, anything Jesus wanted her to do was to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my what? You're trying to fill the buckets with all kinds of stuff. And Jesus is saying, will you just come to me? Because when you come to me, you find peace. Peace I give to you. Peace, my peace. Don't let your heart, don't let your inner world be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Why? Because this is the place you're going to be living from. You're living from the inside. And if my life is full of chaos, this is going on. There are people in this room that needs this message. Because while your life is chaotic on the inside, because you don't want to take 5 minutes to look at yourself and say, what is going on with me? And if I would just go to Him and let Him heal me, let Him touch me, let Him minister to me, I'm telling you something, your world on the outside will become better. Because what? You'll stop releasing the frustration. You'll stop releasing the anger. You'll stop releasing all of that stuff. Why? Because your inner world is full of peace now. You guys all right here? Oh, this is possible. This is possible for us to do this. Everybody in this room, quit making it about the preacher. I'm in the process just like you are. We're laboring. The Bible says we got to labor to enter into rest. There's only one thing you've got to labor for. It's laboring to stay into rest. Jesus said what? Abide in me. Stay connected. Stay aware of who you are. Stay aware of your identity. Stay aware of what you possess. Stay aware of your inheritance as a Christian. Stay aware because there's opposition coming against you to try to get you out of rest. Because if it gets you out of rest, you won't be able to make sound decisions. You'll come and you'll start getting the bucket for the next thing. Hallelujah. Let me read this real quick, Psalm 37. You can put this one up real quick. I think it's Psalm. Is it Psalm 37? I think it is. We'll just read it. Let me just read it with you, okay? I won't comment a bunch on it. I just want you to see it. Don't fret because of evildoers. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, but what? So you can live in the land, but not feed off the land. You can live in the land and not feed off the anxiety, the fear, the confusion, the offense. You can live in it, but not feed on it. But I can feed on His faithfulness. Come on, somebody. Oh, His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I got to remind myself. He said that. Lamentations. This I recall to mind. Therefore I take hope. He said, I got to recall to mind the faithfulness of the Lord and who He is. That's a daily thing. When our feet hit the ground, we have to remind ourselves of who we are. Because why? On the outside, there is a land out there that's like Jurassic Park. But there's somebody that's walking in the midst of this thing that has peace. But listen, your work needs a peacemaker. Your home needs a peacemaker. Your marriage is a peacemaker. Needs somebody that has peace flowing out of them. We cannot walk in our inheritance without it. You will live below what God has for you. And then all of us, also on the flip side of that, the kingdom of God is depending on you and I walking in peace. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, I get in the middle of this, the work situation. You walk in. You didn't say a word. You just ooze in peace. Don't say a word. Just ooze in peace. But most of the time, we show up for the job full of chaos. And guess what happens? You are cut off as a branch, and you're thrown into the fire. It fuels the environment. That's a good word. I don't know, but that's a good word. Sorry, I was just encouraging myself. You got to have that every now and then, just encouraging yourself. Oh, man, it's possible for you and I to walk in peace. It's possible for you and I not to be drowned with stress and anxiety. The Bible promises it. Fear is talked about more than any other. Like, fear is talked about all through Scripture. God doesn't want us to be fearful people. Because not what? We'll raise our kids in fear if you don't watch out. If you don't watch out, you're full of fear. You're a worrier. You'll pass that right on. It's a generational curse thing that you pass down. My mom was a worrier. My dad was a worrier. So I'm a worrier. Well, it should stop with you. Amen. We're not going to worry. Amen. You know what worry is? It's like a rocking chair. There's a lot of movement, but you ain't going nowhere. It's actually practical atheism, actually. Because you're acting like you don't have a God. That's why he said, cast all your care on me. For I care for you. Cast all of your cares and your worries and anxieties on me. For I care for you. I need you to be free of fear. I need you to be free of this. I need you to walk in rest. Let me show you this real quick. I don't have time to break this one down, but Hebrews chapter 3 real quick here. Go over here and let me just... Hebrews chapter 3. I don't have a whole lot of time to really break this down. Put there, I didn't read all of Psalm 37, did I? I think I quit, didn't I? Well, hold on here. I got to finish that because that's good. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Not you, not thee, but he. He shall bring forth your righteous light and your justice the noonday. Now, what's the next three words? Before, rest in the Lord. And wait what? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Let me just give you this real quick. It's not an outward cessation of work or movement. It's not that. It's an inward attitude of trust and confidence in God. It's where one ceases from striving and relies fully on God's provision and presence and promise. The word rest means to cease from internal tension, agitation, and disturbance. Freedom from worries and cares, and being secure and settled, unshakable confidence in the Lord. We are inwardly composed and quiet and peaceful. This is what it means to walk in rest. The Bible says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. It's a promise to you as a believer that you and I can walk in rest. Why? Again, if you don't walk in rest, your faith won't work. You won't hear from the Lord. You'll make terrible decisions with your life. You'll keep going to buckets that can never satisfy. We just speed it up. That's what you do. Do it faster. Do it harder. Get two buckets. Yeah, yeah. I'll just get two buckets now. Get a big one and a medium-sized one. Stop. 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 Only thing you're doing is being rammed by the adversary. It's not who you are. It's not who you are. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 16, let's start right here. Oh man, there's so much to say about this scripture, but let me hit the high points. For he who having heard, rebelled. Now, who was this wrote to? What's the name of the book? The name of the book is what? So it was wrote to people of Jewish descent, and they knew this. When he started talking about this, they knew the story. They knew the story of the Exodus. They knew the story of coming out of Egypt. They knew the story of the wilderness wandering. They knew all about it. So when he starts talking here, this stuff fires up in their mind. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into rest, but to those who did not obey? They could not enter in. Remember now, they went over. Remember the spies? They went over. The spies went over. Joshua and Caleb come back. We were well able to take the land. The other 10 said, "Come, no, we can't do it. No, we ain't doing it." They passed down the evil report to the congregation to Israel, and they all said, "Nope, we're not going." That was the time that everything shifted in Israel's history was right there. And it all was an identity issue. Why? When they come back, what'd they say? We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were in their sight. The enemy sees you the way that you see yourself. Everything switched in Israel's history because of that moment. Identity issue. And they couldn't enter into the rest. Now the rest here, the rest of the Lord that he's talking about, right? That the Hebrews was talking about the promised land. The place flowing with milk and honey where there was provision and abundance and all of that. The land. But God had a different idea about rest. Because rest is not in a land. Rest is in a person. You know where the promised land is really? It's in you. The promised land is in you. Because wherever Christ is, that's where the promised land is. Amen. Let me read on. I've lost it. Verse 19, so we see they could not enter in because of what? Or refusing to trust and rely on God. Rest issues are about my trust. Who am I going to trust with my life? They couldn't enter in because they didn't believe God. They didn't take him at his word. Come on now. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering where? Where does it say? Entering where? What's the word before rest? His rest. His rest. The Lord's rest. Let us fear lest any one of you seem to have come short of. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. As much as I can say, I've got to move on. For he who have believed do not enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So much here. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. It wasn't like when God created. It's talking here over in Genesis where it says there that God created the heavens, the earth, and he rested. It wasn't he didn't cease to work. It wasn't like he just took a nap. He let what was put in process to work. See, we have to believe that when God does something in our life, whatever it is, we're believing God. We got to let the process work. Can we stay in rest? So I'm not going to be able to do this all justice, but I just want you to see this. And again, this place, verse 5, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain saying in David, today, after such a long time it's been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Verse 8, now for if Joshua had given them rest, Joshua was the one that brought them into the promised land. He says if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So he's not talking about an actual occupation of land. He's talking about a spiritual rest that remains for the people of God. Because, listen now, in the old covenant, it was all about law. It was all about regulation. It was all about doing. It was all about trying to be good enough. But in the new covenant, it's done. It's not due. It's done. It doesn't mean I don't work, but I don't work for it. I work from it. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? I hope you're following me. Because why? We get in a place of striving, trying to get it to do it, work, and this, and we're just not full of, we're not restful at all. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You working, trying to strive, you ain't got no rest. Trying to make it happen. I just got to give my kids a better life. I just got to give my kids a better life. I just got to give my kids a better life. I just got to give my kids a better life. Striving. Full of chaos and confusion. When listen, there's some good buckets, and your kids are a really good bucket, but put them in the right well. Put them in the right well. There's a rest. For he himself, who has entered his rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent or labor to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. What am I laboring to do? I'm laboring to stay in rest. Church, listen. Do you understand that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ? Do you understand that you're not trying to get there, that you're actually there? Do you understand, again, that you're not trying to get peace, you actually have it? Do you understand that I'm just trying to get joy? No, joy is in you. Do you understand that what's true for Jesus is true for you? If he's victorious, if he defeated the enemy, are you guys with me here? You labor to enter into rest. Again, I want to read what that means, and then we'll close this down. What does it mean? What does it mean to be in rest? It means to cease from struggling and striving. It's to cease your own works, to cease from your own works. Stop trying to accomplish something on your own. It means an inward trust and confidence that results in a feeling of tranquility and an absence of tension internally or worry. Let me ask you a question as I get ready to close. Are you full of tension today? You can check your gauges right now. Everybody, you can check your gauges where you're at right now. Where's the thermostat running at? Are you running hot right now? Are the dashboard in the lights on the dashboard on? And you're ignoring them? Check your gauges. Are you walking in rest today? Do you have a confident assurance? Let me read this real quick out of the Passion. I'm closing. I am. We're going to take the 50-minute halftime, but let me just read this. Now, God has, we just read this in the New King James, but I just want to read out of the Passion version of this. I just want you to see it. Now, God has offered to us the same promise of entering into the realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of the promise and not fail to experience it. Verse 2. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath that they will never enter the calming rest of my spirit. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. The realm of confident faith. The realm of confident rest. He's got you. Can you rest? It's available to you. Can I get a good amen here? Amen. Tap into the rest of the Lord. What's God's primary way of leading you? What's God's primary way of speaking to your heart? Peace. God speaks to you more with peace. You got to listen to your peace. Let's go, we'll play something. God, you got to listen to your peace. We've taught our girls this, man, every time. I know, we got, where's your peace? Where's peace at? What's peace telling you? Because peace will never lead you astray. The way that God, Colossians 3:15 says, peace is the umpire, the ruler of your heart. Again, I just want to encourage you today, church. I'm not beating you up. I hope you didn't feel like that. I was beating you up. I promise I'm not. I just want you to understand something, that God wants you to come and begin to walk in his inheritance that he has for you. And you and I can't walk in the inheritance that we have unless we have peace and rest on the inside. Because this world, there is an undertow of chaos all around us all the time. There is constant conflict, whether it's in government, all the way down to the home. Is your house full of chaos? We refuse to let it happen. We refuse it. That ain't coming here. Amen. If me and her have a problem, we're going to get worked out. But I'm not selling my home full of chaos. I refuse to open the door up to the devil. And the way that you and I will do that is through fear and anxiety. It opens the door wide open. And he'll come through. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bucket are you getting? What bucket? Are you the one today that maybe has the light, Miller light? Are you the one that's escaping to a bottom of a glass of wine today? Or a joint? Well, this is real stuff. And there's much more, it's becoming much more a problem, but there's people drinking like crazy in the church. Not in this church. I'm not saying that in this church. I hope not. But the church in the whole. And so, Pastor Paul, there's nothing about drinking in the Bible. The Bible says this is Christian liberty. My gosh, we can't even manage our money. We can't say no to a meal. How are we going to say no to something that actually makes us feel a little better and forget something? Well, amen. You can get mad at me. But I'm telling you, in 10 years, if we don't watch out, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of problems in the church with substance abuse problems. You guys would tell me. You guys right over here in this corner, you guys would tell me. I know you've told me before. It just starts with one thing. Maybe you're the one that's turning to the entertainment all the time. Maybe the bucket for you is pornography. Maybe the bucket for you is, you know what, I just got to have the next best thing. I'm never satisfied with my house, never satisfied with my car, never satisfied with this. I just got to go buy something else, and I got to get something else, and you never use it. It just stacks up in your garage. It's revealing something that you're drinking from a wrong well. And Jesus said it. Listen, I'm the one that has living water. And I want to give you living water that way you could be refreshed. And you can actually walk with me without chaos and all the stuff. That stuff is never going to quench your thirst. It never will. Because you get to the bottom of it, and guess what? It's empty. It's empty. When Jesus is saying, won't you just take that thing and kick it off to the side and come to me? And we'll fix your buckets. You'll dig, you'll get into the right well. And this well will never run dry, and it will quench your thirst. You'll never have to come there again. You'll never have to face that again. We're always talking about, no, I'm done. But don't do that, 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 don't do that. Why don't we just get focused on what we can do? And if we get focused on the right well, the wrong wells won't sat. I don't even want to drink from that water anymore. They always talk about light, you know how light disinfects. I was thinking about this the other day, about light. Light disinfects. You know, you expose things to light, and it's a natural disinfectant. And I thought about that. Jesus said, I am the more I expose myself to Him, the more it disinfects me. I don't have to worry about saying no. I just need to say yes to something. I'm going to say yes to the right thing. Church, listen, I'm done. Listen, say yes to the right stuff. Pour yourself into God. Come on, abide in Him. Abide in Him. Be aware of what you got. Come on, somebody. You're not a mere mortal. You're not. That's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You are, listen, I'm telling you, you are superhuman. God lives on the inside of you. You're not a mere mortal. You're not a mere man. You are a spiritual person, full of God's power and love and grace and peace, but we're living far above, below it, because why? We can't get into rest.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.